when we look at the plan itself, it sort of represents our vision for the research necessary to develop game-changing technologies that can primarily help neutralize today's cyber attacks, but also build an infrastructure so we can secure our systems against what may ever come in the future.
Now, there's several pieces to it, as you guys kind of outlined both on your blog. There's four strategic thrusts. Give me a sense of each of those strategic thrusts and how do they fit into the broader cyber strategy?
There's actually three specific themes, and I'll go into those first, and we'll circle back around on the four overarching principles. And one of the key themes is to design in security, and let me say that a little bit slower because it's design in security. And so we need to move from a current environment in which security requirements are basically being built in after the software life cycle takes place. So as a consequence, we wind up in an environment where we're going back and fixing things for the most part. So using sort of top-down assurance focused engineering practices, using the proper development tools and languages, software developers hopefully will then be able to sort of give us a level of assurance to give us be able to actually attest to a level of confidence in the systems attack to sort of withstand the attack. So effectively, sort of a one-sentence elevator speech is the intent is to have software systems that will have resistance to cyber attacks built into their core DNA, as well as the self-awareness to I understand the level of their vulnerabilities and do what we call self-healing, self-repairing. Now, the other three themes are looking at areas developing tailored trustworthy spaces, and that's basically not treating all aspects of the internet the same. And this is pretty consistent with what we looked at with the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, and that's recognizing there's some certain things that you'd want to do that you want to have a high level of trust in there. There's things that you want to use multi-factor authentication for. You want to make sure that it's you, while there's other parts that you effectively don't have that level of trust necessary to do the things that you want to do. The second piece is the area of what we refer to as moving targets. And this one is pretty exciting from a technology perspective. And effectively what it is to increase the cost of anybody that's going to do something against any of our systems by ensuring that we have less static and less predictable systems. Recognize that the ability to find vulnerabilities is not that difficult. To exploit them is not that difficult. So we want to make that a little bit harder to them, to make sure that even if a vulnerability exists and it's exploited, it only works once. So it doesn't have the ability to be exploited months and years later. The third thing, and this is one that's also going to be an interesting piece of research that takes place, and that's actually developing cyber economics. And that's one of the things when we talk about there's very few businesses today that don't rely on technology, don't rely on cyberspace as we know it today. So what ways can we help show them that there's some metrics that basically how a particular system can do better for them, reduce their costs, make sure that they're less likely to become a victim? A
couple things I always want to touch upon real quick. I want to back up to the idea of designing security into the system. We've sure. heard about that for, feels like a decade now. You can't bolt it on. Are things not there yet? Are software developers that the government buys from still bolting it on or still thinking of security after the fact? I mean, even after we've seen so much different events that happen from VA to Sony.
The software and the processes we're doing are indeed getting better. The problem is that people are not doing them at the level that they need to. That's why we're trying to, using this research to say, okay, we want to make sure that we want to leapfrog ahead. So it's not a matter of you upgrade to this generation and that generation. We want to make it to where you leap ahead to where you have tremendously reduce the vulnerabilities in your system.
Talk a little bit about the implementation of this strategy. Now, there's great to have a strategy out there, but how do you make it real?
Now we have to find out who the ones that can execute on this. So when we look at the pieces that we've identified in this, then we'll be going out with a process doing RFPs, RFIs, asking people both inside the government and outside the government, which pieces of this can they work on? What are the resources they need to do it? And then start laying out the plan. So after the first year, you'll see a lot of activity by the departments and agencies that have some of this responsibility to go out to the private sector, to academia, to even other government agencies and say, okay, here's our strategy. Here's the pieces we need for it. Who can do the best for us? And for example, we look whether it's the financial services sector or whether it's the electric, smart electric grid pieces of it is also to not only identify who can do this research, but also how quickly we can transition it from research into something we can implement.
What about money? Is this funded? Do you have money to pay for some of the research?
Currently, we're spending about $1 billion on cyber R&D annually for non-classified research. So the intent here, and particularly in view of the fact that we have budget issues that we're looking at as a nation within the government we're trying to deal with. So how can we actually use this as a force multiplier? How can we make sure that we're not having two or three people doing the same research because we're not doing a coordinated strategy like this? So when we move forward, we actually have budget allocated currently. What we're going to look to do is actually, if we can, reduce that budget while getting more bang for the bucks.
So in a sense, you're going to say, here's our priorities, here's what's already happening within maybe those priorities, and then maybe rank those priorities in terms of what's the highest or what projects within those priorities are the highest, and that's maybe where the money will come from or go to?
That's absolutely correct. And to take a look and to make sure we don't have any redundancies out there, to make sure that when we start looking, and the term I think we hear used most often is, what is the low-hanging fruit? One of the things that we can do a small investment in, which make a big impact on cybersecurity around the country overall.
From a coordination perspective, this will be done within the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the White House or your office? Or who's really going to kind of bring all this all together?
And that's one of the great things we have with the partnerships that we have with Anish Chopra in the Office of Science and Technology Policy. And also, by the way, the Office of Management and Budget and Steve Van Roekel. The three of us work very closely on all these things. While we have coordinated this as part of the President's Cyberspace Policy Review, OSTP will the one actually be running it. And their lead on this is actually dual hat it with our office. So we basically both get the benefits of moving this forward, but they actually are in the lead on this.